from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3 and verses 8 through 24. This is part of the account of the fall of man into sin, and God has placed Adam and Eve in the garden and has commanded them to not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, but through the serpent's deceit, they both fail to keep God's commands, and they have just realized what they have done, and God is now looking for them in the garden. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me fruit from the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Well, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers here today. You may be wondering about that passage that we just read and thinking that it doesn't contain a very happy Mother's Day message. And it's true that the bulk of what is there is negative. It's all about the fall of the human race into sin and the curse that God pronounced. But it is striking that in the midst of all of the negative, there are some very positive things that are said, things that reveal to us the grace of God. And we're going to focus on those points this morning. From the beginning, God had a goal for motherhood. From the beginning, God made man male and female, not simply to have variety in his creation, but also to bring about his plan for his world. And that plan was to create a people for himself, a people with whom he would live in relationship, a people whom he would love and bless, a people who would in turn love him and bring glory to him by reflecting his character and by reflecting his activity on a creaturely level. This people started with one man and one woman, a husband and a wife, who were to love one another as God had loved them, and to work together for the glory of God, to rule over, care for the world that God had made. Part of that would mean that they were to have children who would fill the earth and share in the work that God had given to the first man and woman. And that would mean that the man would become a father and the woman would become a mother. They would be parents, and that parental role would include a nurturing activity. At the earliest stages, they would have to care for the physical needs of their children, but there would also be things that they would have to teach their children about life and about how to do things, and most important, how to live life for God. And so the role of mothers and fathers was a crucial role, not just for producing children, but for producing godly children who would know God's ways so that they would live their lives for the glory of God. And we caught some of that, or at least I hope you did, in the responsive reading this morning. That responsibility of parents is to pass on the things of the Lord to the next generation, and that generation to the next, and so on. That was the plan. But as we've just read, things went awry. The man and father-to-be rebelled against God, and the woman and mother-to-be also rebelled against God. They both ate from the tree from which God had told them not to eat. In one sense, that was a small matter. To eat a piece of fruit is in itself a small thing. But this was a test to see whether Adam and his wife would trust God wholeheartedly or whether they would put themselves and their plans and their desires before God's. Adam and Eve decided not just to eat a piece of fruit. They decided to exalt themselves, to become rivals with God. And so the plan for God to create a people for his own glory and whom he would love, that plan was put in jeopardy. God said to Adam and Eve that in the day they ate from the tree in the middle of the garden, they would die. It would seem, then, that even before Adam would become a father and Eve a mother, that they would die, and that would be that. But by God's grace, that would not be the end of Adam and his wife, nor would it be the end of God's plan. What God determines to do, he will accomplish. His plans are not thwarted. God would still create a people for himself through this first man and woman. Only now, it would come at a great cost. Great cost to God. He would have to redeem this people from their sin and from death. Now, there's a role that both Adam and Eve will play in this plan of creating a redeemed people. But since it's Mother's Day, we're going to focus on Eve's role as a mother. We see two important things that God would accomplish through mothers. The first thing is that through a mother will come a Savior who will bring life. The second thing is that it will be mothers who will bear children who have life. First, a mother will bear the Savior who will bring life to sinful humanity. We see this in verse 15. Now, before we look at that verse, let me just say this. The role of a mother is not the only role or even the most important role that a woman can have as she lives out her life before God. I think that Christians can imply this sometimes when we emphasize the importance of the family. The family is an important emphasis. And in our society, we're seeing a breakdown of the family, the whole concept. And so there are good reasons for making the family comprised of a husband and a wife and a father and a mother raising the next generation of sons and daughters for the Lord. There's good reason for making this an important focus of our teaching. But it's not the only focus, and men are known in the Bible for being more than fathers, and women are known for being more than mothers. Like men, women are known throughout the Bible for performing acts of bravery and wisdom that have served to advance the purpose of God's kingdom. And so we have their names, many of them, recorded, set down in the pages of Scripture, so that future generations, both men and women, will be encouraged and challenged by their faithfulness to the Lord. So motherhood is not the only or even the most important thing for a woman to do, but it is nonetheless a role that is enormously important and significant for the accomplishment of God's plan. It's a role that is unique to women. Only a woman can be a mother. When Mr. Legal asked the children last week what they wanted to be when they grew up, it was good to hear one of our girls say that she wanted to be a mom. Moms do not always get a high rating in our society these days. It's almost like it's not enough to be a mother. You have to be a mom and something else. But according to the Scriptures, that's not true. To be a mother is a high calling all by itself, and one that figures largely in God's plan to create a redeemed people for himself. Now, in verse 15, which I mentioned, when God pronounces his curse on the serpent because of his role in the fall of man into sin, one of the things that God says is that there is going to be a struggle between the woman and the serpent. That struggle will result in the end of the serpent and all that he helped to bring into the world. But for this struggle to take place, the woman would have to become a mother, because it says that the struggle will take place between the serpent and an offspring of the woman. Verse 15 says that the serpent will wound the heel of this child, but the child will wound the serpent's head with a mortal blow. The offspring of the woman spoken of here would be Jesus Christ. He would be the one to bruise the serpent's head, and the woman who would have the honor of being his mother would be Mary, herself a descendant of Eve. With the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the prophecy spoken to the serpent would be fulfilled. And it would be because of a faithful mother, a mother who said to the angel Gabriel, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." It would be because of this faithful mother that a Savior would be born. And that wouldn't be an easy thing for Mary. As we've already said, it would involve struggle. Enmity would exist between the woman and the serpent. Mary would face the risk of losing her husband over this. She would have to flee from her home to a foreign country when Herod was looking to kill the child that she had born. There would be pain and suffering for her in the future when she would see her child rejected and treated as a criminal, hung on a cross between two thieves. Simeon spoke to this when Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him. Remember Simeon? He meets them there and he says to them, "This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also." God's original plan would go forward, but it would be a battle. There would be obstacles. There would be struggle. There would be suffering. But in the end, the offspring of a woman would crush the head of a serpent and bring salvation to his people. So being a mom is not an easy calling. It wasn't even an easy calling for the mother of the Son of God. So moms, don't give up when the struggle becomes great. The one who opposed the mother of Jesus opposes you as well. He didn't want the Son of Mary to be born and to live faithfully and carry out the work that God had given him to do. The serpent doesn't want your children to grow up as faithful servants of the Lord either. But despite the opposition, in the end, the head of the serpent is crushed by Jesus. In the words of our baptismal vows for parents, we ask, do you look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your children as you do for your own? Look to the Lord for your children. Look for his help, for his strength in this battle that is before you. And this brings us to the second point, that God has appointed mothers to bear children who will have life. In verse 20, we read that Adam called his wife's name Eve because, it says, she was the mother of all living. Now, in Hebrew, the name Eve is related to the word or to the verb meaning to live. Eve had the unique privilege of being the mother of all the living. Every man, woman, or child who would ever live, including Jesus, would be able to trace their lineage back to Eve. From her would come not only those who have life in this present world, but also, and this is more important, those who will have eternal life in the world to come. From Eve would come children who would get to do what at that moment Eve was forbidden to do. And that is eat from the tree of life. The name that Adam gave to his wife was the name of hope. Hope in the grace of God. Hope that God would give them an offspring. And hope that one of Eve's offspring would crush the serpent's head and bring not just fleeting life in this present world, but eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth. Adam had hope that there was life to come and not death, because God had promised that his wife would be a mother. And so being the mother of all living would not just be about the physical act of bearing children. It would be about nurturing. It would be about protecting these children so that they will receive the life that their brother Jesus would secure for them. Moms, if you want to be mothers of children who have life, not just in this world, then you've got to nurture them. And the most important thing that children need to be nurtured in is the Word of God. They need to know what God has spoken about himself. They need to know what God has spoken about them. They need to know what God has spoken about Jesus. They need to know that God has made them, that He is Lord, and so He has the right to call on them to obey Him. They need to know that God loves them and delights in them, and that He's a heavenly Father who gives good things to His children. They need to know about themselves that they are sinful and fallen creatures, just as are all people around them, including their parents. Moms and dads, it's especially important that when we tell our children this, when we tell them that they're sinners, it's important that we do that with humility, admitting that we're sinners too. Think about this. It must have been very humbling for Adam and Eve to have to do that. Imagine that, to tell their children that all of the hardship of this life, including death, was because of what they had done. Talk about parents messing something up for their children. But their children needed to know that many of the attitudes of their hearts, along with all the miseries of this life, were not the way that God had originally made things. These things were not the way that God had designed His world to be. They were not the product of evolution. They were not just a step in some natural process in which things will keep getting better and better over time. For Eve's children to have life, eternal life, they needed to know that apart from the grace of God, things would not get better. They needed to know that they needed a Savior. To have life, Eve's children needed to know that they would have to turn from their sins and the sins of their parents and look to the grace of God. That they would have to look to that offspring of their mother who would crush the head of the serpent. For Eve to truly be the mother of the living, she would have to point her children to Jesus, who would come and who would enter into combat for them, into the struggle with the serpent, and even be bruised in the process. That's what Eve as a mother would have to do. This is what mothers have to do today. Nurture your children. Nurture them in the Word of God. And also protect them. To be a mother of the living, Eve would have to protect her children. And what I have in mind here is prayer. Again, there would be a struggle between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. And to prevail in that struggle, they would need God's help. Mothers, are you praying for your children? Are you praying that God would deliver them from the serpent? His influence is so great in this world. This is a crucial job that you have, praying for the protection of your children. Fathers, you should be doing this as well. In fact, dads, as head of your homes, it's especially your job. But again, we're talking about mothers today. You'll get your turn in a few weeks. Moms, never underestimate the importance of prayer. It's your primary means for protecting your children. As a real enemy who is stronger and more clever than you are, and you're engaged in a real struggle with him. And at stake is not only your life, but the lives of your children. And you will not prevail. They will not prevail without God's help. And so you will not prevail without prayer. Well, there are so many things that we could go on and talk about today. We'll have to wait till next Mother's Day. Motherhood is not an easy role. It involves struggle. It involves work, sacrifice, commitment. It's a high calling. It's an essential role in God's plan to bring life to humanity, to create a people who are alive for God and who will live with Him forever. So moms, be mothers who give life. Take your calling seriously. Invest yourself in it. Don't be dissuaded by a society that thinks little of what God considers to be crucial. Most of all, look to God for help, because you can't do this on your own. All of us, whether we're moms or not, need to encourage, support, and pray for mothers to be faithful in their calling. And children, you have a job too, to pray for your moms, and especially today, to thank them and to tell them that you love them. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your wisdom and your goodness. We thank you that in this great plan of yours, you have raised up mothers to do an important task in expanding your kingdom and establishing that kingdom in this world and in the next. Lord, we do pray again today for the mothers in our midst. We pray that you will protect them from the evil one, that you will give them strength and encouragement and the help that they need to be faithful in the calling that you've given to them. Pray for the children among us, Lord, that they will come to know Jesus at a very early age, and to trust him, to love him, and to follow him as their king. We pray, Lord, that this would be a message that would extend beyond the walls of this building and filter through our society and the societies of all nations to see, so that people will see and know what you are doing and how you are bringing this about, so that we as families might be faithful to the calling that you've given to us. Thank you again for Jesus, our King, also our brother, who laid down his life for us. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.